is the day which the Lord has made. We will. So today's message is love and grace transform us. I'm going to be talking this week and next week. We'll be talking about love as well as we celebrate 34 years here at Prayer Faith. Jan Murray said yesterday, in order to get good at the things we're doing and use the tools that the Lord has given us, we must practice, 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 practice. I didn't leave it at three because you said more than three, Jan. That means you've got to just continue on and don't stop. Continue on and don't stop. Now in Galatians chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 7, and it says this. It says, you ran well. Good job, you did great. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Uh-oh. There's the question. Who or what has caused you to stumble or has hindered you from pressing on? And it goes on to say, this persuasion does not come from him who calls you. Said it didn't come from the Father. Now you may say, I was offended by the church. You don't mean God. He didn't offend you. Someone in the church, a person did. I have offended people. I didn't mean to, but I have. And I don't feel good about it. As a matter of fact, by the time I'm done today, it's a good opportunity that I may offend someone today by what I say, either here or out there watching on Facebook. And it says, a little leaven leavens a whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. He says our focus should be on who or what? Should be on Christ. Have no other mind. People and things will distract us and pull us away from our focus or what our focus should be. And it goes on in verse 11. And it says, and I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross... Uh-oh, the offense. Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. The cross is offensive. And it says in the New Testament, it says, to those that are being transformed, the cross does not offend them, but it offends those that aren't being transformed. And it says it's a continual process. And this is talking about the cross as being offensive to others. Why? Because the cross is what represents and shows us God's grace for us. And who we are and what we do and what we've done to others and what we've done to ourselves. I'll never forget Eric Ferguson preaching over at Ground Zero years ago saying, do not forget to forgive yourself. That was eye-opening to me. Oh my Lord, I get to take the opportunity to forgive myself. And some of you have not done that. And you're going to struggle with that. And you're going to put yourself in a prison and in a corner and in a box that you can't get out of until you learn to forgive yourself. I don't know that I like quoting animated movies, but boom, ah, that hit me in the head. That hurt me when you hit me in the head. Forget about it. It's in the past. It's in the past. Sometimes we have to forgive ourselves and move on. We have to forgive ourselves. Now the cross is an offense to people because it shows God's grace. What does that mean? That means that my good works, and think back in the day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, all those people were very important. And they said, my works will get me somewhere. See my good works that I've done. Faith without works is dead, but works without faith, oh. It doesn't go either. So that means it's offensive to them because they can no longer be somebody by their good works alone in the eyes of God. We have to remember that as well. Verse 13, Galatians 5, verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Praise God. We've been called to liberty. Why do I still suffer persecution? It says up above that thing. I think right here, when you've been called to liberty, then why do I still feel like I'm in prison? Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Why does Adam keep preaching that? Because Christ keeps saying it, exactly. But if you bite and devour one another, beware, lest you be consumed by one another. Whew. Paul said, man, find liberty in Christ, but do not use it for selfish, fleshly desires. It has no place for that. Serve one another. Serve one another. Oh, by the way, when you serve one another, would you do me a favor? Would you do it in love? Here's your groceries. Get up and do something instead of just looking for a handout. Man, do that in love. Serve in love. Why? Love and grace transform us. He says, biting and fighting will kill and destroy you. It will kill and destroy the body. It will kill and destroy the family. It will kill and destroy a church body. Fighting and biting have no place. We can see things differently if there's room for that, but where the Bible is clear about how we should act and how we should do things, that's very clear. There's no room for variance in that. There shouldn't really be anything to fight about and to bite about. I apologize, I don't remember which one of you yesterday said, hey, listen, if we can't come together in the body of Christ and admit our hurts and hang-ups and our sins and our strongholds and help each other out and accept one another with what they're going through and receive necessary rebuking possibly, counseling, preaching possibly, I've got all these problems, but I don't go to church because I'm tired of hearing him tell me it's my problem and my fault. Anybody else helping you walk down that road alone? Sometimes it is. But if we can't come together, Bate, I want to say it was you that was talking yesterday, but I don't remember. Again, you or Jan said, if we can't come together, and we don't have to always put on a happy face, we have to sometimes say, you know, I'm hurting inside. And by the way, when we open the altars, every now and then we need to have the boldness to do what? To come up to it. Good Lord, in the Bible, they didn't say, hey, they waited for an invitation. What did they do? Man, Edna, help me move these rocks. We're going to build an altar right here. Why? Because I need one right now. They didn't wait for someone to open the altar. They built it. Why? Because I had need of it. They had need to open themselves up. What did Dwayne used to say? Come before people with our kimono wide open. I don't know that's exactly what the Bible is saying, but it's saying we come before God the way we are, open and honest. And it was always fun to remember that, though, because it was a nice way to remember that. But if we can't do that, my goodness, there's not much hope for us if we can't do that. There's not much hope for the church if we can't receive people. Ooh, out there watching the doors, make sure no sinners come in. Let's all go. We might as well all walk on out of here. Because we are all sinners. We all fall short. The Bible says, hey, don't forget, you used to be one of them. Don't forget, you used to be just like them. So let's not get too high and mighty. Now let's progress, let's grow ourselves and not wallow in that. But we've got to press on. Each side must do their part in love and grace. Why do we do it in love and grace? Love and grace transform us. Love and grace transform us. And they allow God to use us. Verse 16 through 18. Like I said, next week we'll be talking about love as well. And I want to see what God does and what God shows us that love can do. Verse 16. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, as I read this, I thought a couple things. Number one, it keeps saying, if you do this, you will or will not have this happen. Or you could also look at it and say, if you don't do this, this will or will not happen. And then usually it'll tell you why or tell you the outcome. So if we look at that, it says, if you walk in the Spirit, so if we do that, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Great. We don't want to fulfill the lust of the flesh. What do we need to do? Walk in the Spirit. If you do this, this will not happen. If you are led by the Spirit, what will happen? You are not under the law. Verse 19 through 21, it says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are idolatry, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. I know I've read this several times over the years. Why? Because I remember saying that phrase, and the like. That means, and there's a few more things that appear to be like that, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's the same thing. If you do this, this will or will not happen. If you do the works of the flesh, and it gives you a whole list of those, and then leaves a little more by saying, and the like, other things that are similar. If you do those, this will or will not happen. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. We talk about our inheritance that the Father gives us when we are His children. We give that up when we practice these things. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that inheritance that He has for us, because our works go through the fire, is minimized. It is lessened. But this is the place I love most, 22 through 26. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's nine great things that are the fruit of the Spirit. Against these things there is no law. And those who are Christ, listen carefully, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If, there's that word again, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, and envying one another. Grace and love will transform us in the body of Christ. Now it says, if we belong to Him, that means He's already showed up and He showed us His love and His grace by receiving us and giving us the helper, the Holy Spirit. It says, hey, as a byproduct of that, all these things, when He shows us grace and love, then we have these as byproducts of His grace and love for us. The fruit of the Spirit. Man, a byproduct. If He loves me, the byproduct is I should love others as Him, as I should love Him as well. My goodness, if He loves me and He showed me grace when He could have showed me punishment, by the way, He's done both over the years. Man, the byproduct of that is joy that is deep inside me. Thank you for the work in the conference, Adam. Thank you, Adam, for the work over at Ground Zero. Man, I'm glad to do it. It energizes me. Oh, while I'm tired, I am not exhausted and worn out by that sense. I'm tired, but man, I am uplifted with His joy that is deep inside me. Josh and Nikki and Colton and I have showed up at Ground Zero for the last 7 or 8 weeks, every Wednesday night. Attacking a list from small things to big things. Why? Let us take note of what's wrong let us do this to fix it. Why? So that we can transform it. It is the same thing in our lives that we should be doing. Oh, Lord, please don't ask your spouse, give me a list of all the things wrong with me. Okay, it's probably best that you do a list first. You may share with them, saying, here's some things, areas I found wrong with me that I'm going to work on. Now, spouses, this is not your opportunity to tell them every time when they fail on that list. You failed on that list this week, by the way, today, all month. This last year, you have failed on that. Don't do that. We're to be encouragers, aren't we? Let us encourage them. There's no winning this thing. I better just stop while I'm behind. Okay. You know what I'm saying. Make a list. Some things are big, some things are small. Oh, I said that extra word. I don't need to do that every time. I picked up your dirty socks again. Oop. Remove word again. Did the dishes again. And these aren't examples out of my own home. I'm just saying these are examples, okay? Cindy, I've picked up your dirty socks again. No, I'm just kidding. But make those lists. Check them off. And let's see transformation. And then when you walk in, you can say, yeah, you've got some room to go. But man, what a difference. And people will notice things in your life. And we always want people to walk up to us and go, what is it about you? There's something about you. Oh man, I've got the joy of the Lord inside of me. I knew it. Versus, what's wrong with you? I got the joy of the Lord inside me. Could have fooled me. You don't want that. You want to say, I've got the joy of the Lord inside of me. That's what's different. Got a text the other night from a coworker. I am sorry to bother you so late. Would you please pray for my family? Absolutely. By the way, please don't ever apologize and for asking me to pray for you or someone you know or a loved one. She said, well, you're the only person I knew that was a godly person that I could reach out to. Thank goodness I'm an example there. I've said it many times. I'm the same person at home as I am out and about, as I am at work. Not perfect, but I'm the same person. And that, in general, is a godly man that has the joy of the Lord inside of me. I'm well aware of my shortcomings, by the way. No need to send me a list. But the other byproducts are peace. Oh my goodness, you have peace about you. Adam, aren't you upset about this? No, man. It's really not my problem. No, I'm okay with it. You see, I've done my part and the Lord has told me to do this. When you forgive someone or ask someone to forgive you, if they do or don't accept it, or they do or don't forgive you, that's on them. I've got peace about it. If I've asked for forgiveness, I have peace about it. I acknowledge I did something wrong. I ask for forgiveness. They don't accept it or don't give it to me. That's on them. I have peace about me. If I write you up for doing something wrong at work and you fix it, great. I have peace. I've corrected the problem. If you don't, and I go on and on, and we fire you, I have peace. I've removed the problem. We have to come to a point where we have peace, is what I'm saying. And I have peace when I do things that say, this is the way to go. The Lord has showed up. He's promised us these things. He's given us His love and His grace. He's offered us these fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. And those nine things, He said, those are yours, by the way. When you walk with me, those are yours. You will have them when you walk with me. When you're walking on your own, you don't necessarily have those. You don't exhibit those. You don't show those. Those aren't obvious to others. But when you walk with Him, I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then He goes on to say, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit so that we can have those things. Those are evident in our life. The fruit of the Spirit is these nine things. Are these nine things? Uh-oh. Guys, we got the tricky one. Verse 24. And those who are Christ, if we say we are Christ, it says, you have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Whew. That's a toughie. Offenses go away when you've crucified the flesh. Colton, don't tell your grandfather, Pastor Jack. Jack, if you see this, I apologize, but I used to hate when Pastor Jack said, you can't offend a dead man. I thought, oh, I don't want to hear that. You know what? He was right. He was right. You can't offend a dead man. That means we have crucified the flesh. So when I said you hate it, I apologize, but I'm right. It's biblical. It says you've crucified the flesh. Man, your flesh is now dead to sin, dead to its desires and passions. If you have an area that you get offended in, or you have people that offend you, we've got some work to do. I mean, it's just the truth. If we get offended, you have some work to do. Against such, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh. Are we Christ? Yes. Then crucify the flesh. Don't get offended by those things. Press on. All those who are Christ have crucified the flesh. If you're Christ, walk in the Spirit. Are we walking in the Spirit or walking our own dusty trail? By the way, walking in the Spirit may mean a dusty trail as well, just so long as we know we're walking in the Spirit. Church, we've got to look inside ourselves. Those watching on Facebook, we have to look inside of ourselves. We have to be honest with ourselves and be honest with others. And really, when we do that and we can crucify the flesh, it's freeing to us. And it's freeing to others. It's freeing to others. And I hope that doesn't offend anyone here today or watching today. But when we are constantly offended, we wear people down. I'm offended. I'm hurt. It becomes a campaign that you're always offended and hurt. And it just exhausts people. There are a lot of hurt people. Band's going to come up here and we're going to sing a song here that we sang earlier. But there's a lot of hurting people in churches. But let me tell you something. Listen carefully. We have to take back control of our life. And we have to take back control of our heart. What do I mean by that? From the enemy that put you in that prison. Our heart is hurt by others. It could be family, it could be friends, it could be co-workers, it could be strangers. They've done something or said something, and they have hindered our progress in walking in the Spirit. And they have hindered our progress of being productive and fruitful Christians. If we are Christ, we have crucified the flesh. Jesus Christ has the key to the prison that we are in. Jesus Christ is the key to the prison we're in. He can break every chain that restricts you. Amen. He can love you where others couldn't or didn't. He can restore you when you think you cannot be restored. And I want you to hear what I'm saying, because there's people listening today that are struggling in these areas. He can forgive you when others couldn't or wouldn't. And where you won't forgive yourself, He can forgive you. He can deal with you and heal you when doctors couldn't. He can carry you when you can't carry on. He can uphold you when you are weak. He can transform you when nothing else can. Love and grace can transform you today. Amen? He can. Let's bow our heads and pray.